Hey, don't go through Kansas again, damn it, nigga. This shit's gonna be awful. Okay, hold on. Now I'm gonna turn it on. Okay, say something.
Mic check.
Maybe it's just my damn phone or something.
Mic check. You got it set on this mic?
Yeah. I mean, I just... Say something.
Mic check.
Christina. Hold on. Say something.
Doing a mic check, trying to see if the mic is working so we can go hot for like 10 minutes.
Hold on, wait. Okay, she said she can hear us.
Okay, good.
But why is it not coming through? Why can't I hear here then?
I don't know, but it's showtime.
All right, well, let's go on rock and roll.
Let's go on rock and roll for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. So why isn't she popping up here?
I'm not sure.
Well, we're rock and roll. Anyway, damn it, we are back.
Back.
We are back. We have been trying to deal with the apocalypse. Hello, Miss Christina. How are you? It is so good to see you. Podbean has issues. Yeah. So we can't hear ourselves through our phones. And we literally just did like 30 minutes and then all of a sudden we couldn't hear anything. So we didn't know if the mics were working or not. So we are back again. But hello to everyone again. This is Dr. Hinton. This is Dr. Chapman. This
What's
is
up, people?
Brother to brother. We are back. We are back in full effect. Again, trying to survive the apocalypse. And the question, we don't have long. We're just going to touch on this. And then next week we'll probably come back. It is good to see you too, Miss Christina. Hopefully all is well. I heard that they run what they call the Random Couple Show. And I think they are live on Fridays now. So things are good. But our topic for the day is marriage necessary? I err on the side that I know this again, every time I say it, it sounds horrible.
Every time.
But I err on the side that men typically only stand to lose from getting married. If it doesn't work out, typically it is the man who loses everything. And I think that that is a larger part of why men are so hesitant. Christina says she runs from proposals. I think that's why men are so hesitant to get married. And they're so hesitant to get married because there's the prospect of if this doesn't work out, I'm going to lose my kids and I'm going to lose all my money. We talked about it earlier. It only seems like there are women that press to get married, not men. And why is that? I don't think that women love us any more than I don't think that the women in our lives love us any more or any less than we love them. So the question is, why is it that it's women that's always pressing, but it's never men pressing?
And so we had spoken on this earlier, but I have a new revelation. I'll give my old revelation, then I'll give my new one. First, it's, you know, we got to blame Disney because that's just the way it is. It's the way that the movies are created. There's always a prince. There's always, you know, somebody that woos the girl, knocks her off their feet. They get married. They live happily ever after. But in addition to that, you know, I was reading this book. It's called The Female Brain. And in this book, it's talking about, it's written by, I can't remember the name of the medical doctor that wrote it, but she's talking about these different elements of the physiology of the female brain. And one thing she talks about is this element and it could be in some way socially constructed, this idea that women grow up with a desire to maintain relationships. And it's starkly different than what a male tries to do. And part of her argument is talking about the surge of estrogen that hits the brain at certain parts of development, as opposed to the surge of testosterone. Obviously, we both have both elements in terms of males and females, biologically males and females. But those make differences in what our kind of goals that we go after most, where males, when it comes to early on play, it's about competition. It's about winning and not losing. And in this book, she's making the argument for women, even from an early age, when you see them in play, it's about preserving the relationships, even to the point of maybe avoiding conflict. And I think that that argument sets up a good basis for this idea of why it may be for some women so important to get married. And even the idea was, does it, is it that that women don't love men more than men love them? I don't know if it's one or the other, but I think if we think about what's been cultivated in society, this need for security and relationship, what's the ultimate relationship? Marriage. The question about it being necessary is one we're grappling with. I'm not going to say that I think it's necessary or unnecessary, but I think it has definite benefit for both male and female.
I agree. I think, don't get me wrong. Look, as I said before, I'll say it again. I think that marriage is amazing. I think if you can find one person that you want to roll over and look at every day for the rest of your life that knows you like no one else in the world, I think that that is an amazing. As my friends used to tell me when I was younger, I'm a sucker for love. I truly, truly am. And I think that I agree with you that there are health benefits. There's so many benefits that come along with marriage. But as I said before, one out of two marriages end in divorce. And if I told you there was a 50% chance that this plane was going to crash, would you get on it? Probably not. Well, marriage is a plane. And there's a 50% chance that it's not going to make it to its destination. There's a 50% chance that it's going to crash. So why would you take that chance? And I wonder if it's easier for women to take that chance when, not in all cases, but typically when marriages end, women get the kids. And not only do women get the kids, typically, financially, because the way society structured, men a lot of times make more than women, it's men that's going to pay child support. And men are men may lose half. So, I don't know. Is that that's too big of a, most men, especially young men now, and hello to everybody in the chat room that's coming in now. That's too big of a chance. That's why younger men now are waiting. That's why men wait to get married. They want to make sure they're ready, and they want to make sure that their partner is something that's going to last. Because if it doesn't, my life is over.
Yeah. I mean, the argument that you made, like, yeah, I don't want to get on a plane that's 50% chance going to crash. I mean, I'm adventurous, but I'm not that adventurous, y'all. Okay. I hear you on that, and I mean, it's a pretty hard argument to argue against. I think what you're saying about younger men not wanting to get married is plausible, but I have this other thought and even if it is, I'm not sure if it's more men or women. I haven't looked at like what that would look like in terms of the numbers, but I think in the younger generations, what's happening is it's really the decline of the family has led to this problem with wanting to get married. It's not just like what divorce looks like. It's people growing up and seeing divorces and knowing all the effects. I know that goes to your argument of why people, we should just get rid of marriage. But I'm just adding that to say that I think this is what comes into the bigger picture. But on that 50%, for the 50% of people that marriages that do stay together, we know not all of them are healthy marriages. And for those of you who don't know, I work with couples. So this is coming from experience with that type of work. But there are, as you mentioned, those benefits, right? And some of those benefits for men are particularly big. You mentioned the health, you mentioned, and what does that look like? Okay, so for a number of men that are not married, they're going to be more likely to not be as concerned about their health. And then because of that, be more likely to suffer the consequences of having some health disparities that maybe could be intervened at an early age, simply from having not just a spouse, but somebody in their life that really cares about them and helps them get that in order. But usually it's the female that helps to do that. In addition to that, there's the support factor. So even though we're not saying that men don't have good male friends, but I've experienced this in a number of couples that I work with, where you ask the man in the marriage, and even though this is within a couple or marriage or relationship, who their other friends are. They might have a friend, Bob, Bill, or whatever, that they talk to, but they talk to them about very basic stuff. They don't necessarily feel a deep level of support with that. That is another thing that's a benefit, because you can think about the physical health, but also the mental health, and the mental health that seeps into the physical health. So these are some benefits. It doesn't get me away from that 50% divorce rate. But these are some benefits that are especially, I would think, especially useful for a male.
I think what's interesting is you're building an argument that people don't think about when they think about getting married. When people think about getting married, they think, I love you and you're awesome, and you love me and I'm awesome. We should be together forever. This is the problem, is that People don't think about what are the pros and cons of getting married? What are the benefits of getting married? What are the benefits? What are the downfalls? And do the benefits out, are there more benefits than downfalls? Are there more benefits than flaws? I don't know anybody that thinks about marriage in that way. When people get married, it's because I love you. And that's it. And marriage is a business. I don't care what anybody say. When you involve the government, as my father would say, the government, when you involve the government and you sign a contract and you start getting tax breaks, that sounds like an LLC. Think about it. That's a business. So it's like, you have to approach marriage like you would approach any other business. Are you going to be a good business partner? Can I trust you? What do you bring? You wouldn't start a business with any one of your friends, because you got some friends that you know lazy. You got some friends that you know clowns. You have just some friends that you know have no skills to support and help move a business forward. So why would you? All I know is I love you. I'm not thinking about what you bring to the table. I'm not thinking about, we don't talk about finances because, that's shallow if I think about how much money you have. You better think about how much money somebody got. Mm-hmm. That better be one of the first things you think about. Love don't pay the rent.
Right. I mean, I don't disagree with you about almost any of that. So, of course, it's like a business. You're building bonds. You're building houses. You're building alliances. Yes. In olden times, this is with reasons that people would marry, wouldn't have anything to do with love. They'd have everything to do with building assets for a group of people. But I think it's when we think about why people get married, there's a whole plethora of reasons. And I don't think it's all about love. I think maybe for women, it's about love, but not always about love. I think sometimes it's about security. And also, I think for men, sometimes it's about love, but sometimes it's time. You know, I've done my time. I can't play this game anymore. She's going to leave me if I don't go ahead and marry her.
Why does it have to be time?
Okay. I know that's true. But I think the other thing that complicates all of those reasons for why somebody does it is the history of what this person has experienced so far in life. Now, like, why are they not having these deep conversations about finances and all this stuff? Well, because they didn't see those conversations happen early on, because Disney has told them you don't have those conversations. What you do is you meet the person, you fall in love, you live happily ever after. You know, I've met plenty of people who are just uncomfortable having a number of conversations, not just about finance. I go, I don't know, we really should be talking about sex, or we should be talking about these things that we might assume you're going to definitely talk about.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how uncomfortable some people are. But what is the basis of that? It's all the things they've experienced in the past. Now, this doesn't support my argument about there being benefits in marriage, but I don't think it goes away from it either. It's just giving us answers why some people don't, you know, look at marriage as thorough as they might look at purchasing a car.
None of this changes. that you're getting on a plane and it's 50-50 you may land.
Yeah.
People take the wrong perspective. I think marriages can work if you approach them from a business aspect. And if this person is your friend. Like, here we go with Will and Jada in Entanglement. That might be another show. We don't even have time to get into all that. I think that there probably should be another show, the next show. This notion or idea of, I love, absolutely love, love. I think they have an amazing marriage. They made a decision that we are life partners. Think about how many people would, the reason that people, think about how many people would cheat or allow their partners to cheat if they knew that their partner wouldn't leave the group or their family. Like, I think that there's this, people have this fear of being left or people leaving them.
Yeah.
And they went into their relationship eyes open, realistic. We are dedicated to this group, like a business. We're dedicated to this business. We are dedicated to this group. We are dedicated to this family. There's nothing that can happen that can make me leave this family or this group, the bond that we have and the things that we want to do financially. I think that that is how you have to approach a marriage. Realistically, the notion or idea, it is ridiculous for me to believe that I can be somebody's everything. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely. And I don't care what anybody said. It's ridiculous for you to believe that you can be everything to somebody.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous to believe they'll never see other people that they're attracted to. I'm not saying that all marriages and relationships should be open marriages. I'm just saying that I think that these are all things that people aren't realistic and they don't truly consider. And when these relationships end, it is my perspective that men suffer greater than women from a financial perspective and from a child perspective.
Okay. Well, you said a lot there. So what should I address? I think the whole idea of approaching it like a business, I'm not against. You know, like marriage, relationships in general, they take a lot of work. And I think one reason that marriages fail is because people don't give their marriage the respect that they give their job. Or if you want to say business, the same thing. You know, if some of the things that people say to their spouses, if they were at work, would have them in the HR office about to get fired. Because we just don't hold sometimes the same respect, or we feel like, oh, they should be able to take all of our dirt, but we give that respect when we're in that type of place. I don't necessarily think it should just has to be treated like a business. I mean, it really comes down to like how you really define love or think about it. I think people think about it in this mystical way as something that happens, or maybe think about the science of it, or do they even think about the science of it? Because if you think about what's happening first, it's really just limerence, you know, your body's physical effect to somebody. That's a chemical reaction that's people mainly call lust. But even when you move past that and then it's actual love, is it just chemistry, or is it a decision? Like, do you decide, like, you know what, I'm going to love you? You know, people have the argument about whether they're in love or not in love. But I've heard it said also that it can be a series of actions that you decide to make over and over again each day. And then when you make those actions or that decision each day from doing it, there's going to be you're going to want to have a form of you don't want to have dissonance or disagreement between yourself. So if I'm doing these actions like I love this person, I'm going to need to love this person.
It's investment theory. The more you invest in somebody, the more you make yourself believe that you love them. Or am I a fool for doing this? Obviously, I'm doing this because obviously I love the person. So
it comes down to, can you do things that stay in alignment with your commitment to love? But outside of that, there will probably be some things that might be commitment breakers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've decided you want to be together. Is there going to be nothing? I mean, entanglements, everything goes. I mean, that's different things for different people to think about. But it might just come down to how we're really defining this whole love thing in the first place. And then to what you said about men losing. I think definitely that there are some big financial implications for men. A lot of situations that happen more. But also, I mean, the opposite side of that is the woman who doesn't have the resources to really go through an appropriate type of divorce situation. And they happen to be with somebody who holds all the cards. And then when they end that relationship, they're in a situation. I know you're not saying that doesn't exist, but I just want to point that out. And on top of that, if it's somebody who has given up certain parts of their life, which I think in those cases it happens to be women, and now they got to reshape everything after what they were thinking, if they were, that this marriage was going to last, and now they didn't work, they didn't do all these things, and now not only do they have to worry about finances, they got to do this whole recreate me thing.
If, let me ask you this. If marriages don't work, why do we keep doing it? What are we chasing? I have a theory that when I say it, you're going to be like, it's one of those spacey theories. I don't mean to shift hard, but I'm getting older. So when I think of stuff, I better say it while it's on my mind, because I'll forget it, because I forgot this twice.
That's why I write stuff down.
Why, if one out of two marriages end in divorce, why do we can everyone knows this. I want you to, if you need time to think about it for a second. What are we chasing? Why do we keep doing it? We know that it's not going to work. Men, very good point in the chat box. Fear of being alone. I mean, are we social creatures by nature and we always look for union? I think he's right. And I think that it's deeper than that. I think it's spiritual, and I think it's deeper than that. I said this before, obviously, because you know my look, my take on spirituality is a little bit unorthodox. I believe that we are looking for, I think there is a type of union. I think we are looking for God when we search for union with another person. I think that when we're younger, I think that there is something that we get spiritually when we connect with other people. I don't think, some people believe we are two halves and we're looking to be whole. I don't believe that. I think that whatever God or the universe is, I think that we are already whole. And I think that when we're with someone else, we experience it in a different way. I don't think that it makes us whole to be with somebody else. I think that we experience whatever the universe or whatever God is just in a different way. I think that we are a manifestation of whatever it is. It breathes life into us. So we are a manifestation of whatever it is. And I think that when we join with other people, we experience it on such a different level. And I think that that's what we're chasing when you're young. So I think that unity or union with someone else, I wonder, is chasing whatever that union feeling is on some level. No matter how brief it is, when we have sex with somebody and an orgasm, I think that's what we're chasing. I think, so when you're younger, you're chasing sex, but deep down, ultimately, I wonder if that's what it is. And then you get a little older, you look for relationships. You're looking for union. You get a little bit older, you're looking for marriage. We're always looking to pair ourselves with somebody, no matter how brief or how long or how short it is, no matter what the ramifications are. I got family members that have been married five times and continue to do it, because we're all, maybe some of that is pathology, okay? But ultimately, as people, I wonder if we're all chasing something, and I wonder if we are all chasing that. Now, I know that's a lot, and I know that sounds weird.
I don't think it sounds weird. I think it sounds like you, Dr. Hinton. You know what I'm saying? That's not weird. and I think that there's lots of parts to chew on for that. I mean, I do think that the whole idea of union is chasing of a circle. You talked about this idea of wholeness and how you don't really think it's wholeness. And I have a couple things I think about when I think about what we're chasing. I know that comment about fear of being alone. And I think that fear of being alone is a very biological, kind of imprinted into our genes kind of thing for the purpose of survival. You know, people don't usually survive well alone. Just a basic thing of survival. And if you think about how we come into this world, so we come into this world with a parent unit. Now, some of us have parents that do all of the caring and creating and supporting and nurturing, create the right environment. Some are lacking. You know, all parents are just parents that are humans that go through their own struggles. But I think part of what we chase, at least this would be in agreements with what Freud might think, is a correction. So you go through this early circumstance. And for those of you who are blessed to have the perfect circumstance, there's nothing to correct, but nobody's circumstance is usually perfect. And whatever circumstance you experience, you may unconsciously recreate in some way, but you don't recreate it just to be going through the drama over again. You create that over again to complete a cycle. And that's where I think wholeness comes in. So when you're younger and you're in that parent unit, the parents are there to support you when you're too young and too vulnerable to support yourself. That creates a sense of security for you and a base. And as you get older, we think when we get older and we leave our parents, and we think particularly in an American culture that we should just be by ourselves. We don't need anybody anymore. It's just me. I can do it myself. But some theorists would argue that you never really lose this desire for a secure base. Your secure base just changes. No longer is it about your parents. You cleave to something else. Right. And if for those that can't do well with intimacy, they create it tight with friend groups, or they go around and, you know, get a whole bunch of short exchanges to try to make it. OK, at least I got some connection just for a second, just for that moment of ecstasy that creates that chemical of limerence for them for that moment. And all those things have their own protective, I guess, ways and how they show up and evolve in what Freud would call libido early on. So energy, sexual energy in some way, for a mother to a child is not about sex at all. It's about caring. And then it just morphs and changes and evolves to create different levels of intimacy that lead to different levels of secure base and safety. So we can have wholeness and unity. And one desires it. And I think that the desire is so bad lately because there's just more hurt in the world that creates more opportunities for correction.
So at the end of the day, you think that we continue, even though these relationships are working, we continue to try. We continue to get married. We continue to try because ultimately we are seeking safety, security, secure attachments,
yeah,
wholeness. And it's so much easier to have that environment with somebody else there than doing it on your own and doing it by yourself. That makes sense. I like that. Wow. I can see that. And I can see how that can drive you. I can see how that perspective can make you or can put you in a position to ignore all of the red flags with somebody and only see the good signs.
Right.
If you're looking for security and comfort.
Yeah.
How many times have we all been in relationships that somebody had bad stuff, but they had a couple of good things that
right.
you would deal with them, or maybe they'll change. You would give yourself excuses that these things would change because there is something there that makes you feel so comfortable. And maybe it's a comfort that you didn't feel before as a kid.
Yeah, and there's one more part to that. Now, this is, you know, some of y'all hate Freud, not with him. I'm not saying I support him. It's just something for y'all to think about. So that bad stuff, it's not just like looking past the red flags. Sometimes you see the red flags, but in the red flags are a weird sense of security. Why? Because those red flags remind you of that incomplete cycle. Your parents had those red flags, and you never got that cycle correct, but you're going to get it right this time. It's what you think at an unconscious level, and just doesn't happen.
Wow. So are the people that give up just broken then? Because I just gave up. No, I think for me, no, that's not true. I just at this present time, I don't want to get married. It doesn't mean I don't want to have relationships. So I haven't given up on relationships, just marriage, because my experience with that institution was bad, but I haven't given up on relationships. So I am still but again, let's not get lose track of what the original question was.
I know.
Do we have to get married to fulfill that though? No, but I think that we can agree that there is a level of comfort with marriage than when you're just dating somebody.
Yeah.
Whether it's realistic or not.
Yeah,
you still feel like it means something when someone makes that kind of commitment to you. It's one thing to say, I love you. It's another thing to walk down the aisle and go. It's another thing to add the ritual to it, because it's a ritual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not just a ritual, but it's a spiritual and religious ritual for a lot of people as well.
Yeah.
So when you add the ritual to it, that adds a layer. I think we want to know that people mean it.
Right.
That is one way to show that you really mean it, is that you're willing to go through this ritual with me. Not only are you willing to go through this ritual with me, but we both know that a lot of times these things don't make it, and we're willing to take the risk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your plane analogy is a perfect analogy. Let's not make it a plane. Let's make it a bridge. I mean, plane is interesting, but I think a bridge is a little bit more interesting. There's a 50% chance this bridge is going to break. You want to walk across it? You know, so you do that. That makes it more like, wow, you're real romantic. You're going to walk across this bridge with me. Yeah. You know, like, you know, that type of thing. But I think it's the ultimate idea that you're willing to say that you're going to be with me for life. You're going to complete that circle for me, at least in the moment of making the vow and creation.
And you're willing to put yourself in a position that it's harder for you to leave.
Right.
You are going to voluntarily put yourself in a position that makes it harder for you to leave, thus proving how much you care about me.
Right.
And maybe this is why the ring matters. Maybe that's why it matters. Not that you got me a ring, but you went out and spent a grip on it. Because it shows your dedication to me.
Yeah.
And to us, that you would go out and spend all this money. It's a thing of commitment.
Right.
More than anything else. Yeah.
And the only thing, one thing that comes to mind, which may not be true, but it comes to my mind for symbolism. It's like in olden times, the caveman that's willing to go out and risk everything to hunt and bring this particular piece of meat or whatever for the person. It's kind of like that same thing. And I think the vow of it, the commitment of it, the deepness of it, I do think people need that in their life. I won't know if I can go as far as to say it has to be marriage, but there is such a big difference. When I know that even though we've been in a relationship for 7 years, I know you can leave anytime you want. For someone who's growing up with, it's not that everybody has to have abandonment issues, but everybody wants that cycle to be complete.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, even the ones that say they don't, you know, the ones that are like, marriage ain't for me. I don't see that as somebody who truly doesn't want to bond. I see that as someone who's just protecting. Like, I want to bond. I'm worried that it's not going to work out. So I'm just going to say, nah, that ain't for me. That way I don't have to go through any of the pain. I mean, exactly. There's still going to be pain because they're going to feel the pain of not being in those situations, even though they won't say that. But they don't have the pain of having to go through this rejection. They just did it themselves. Like, I'm not going to let you cut me. I'm going to cut myself. And then at least I know it's coming.
Yeah. I'm just reflecting on what you said. You said that perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I can say behind it. Like, ultimately, I think it is about comfort. It is about attachment. It is about a secured attachment. And it's why we just continue to do it over and over and over again. And we continue to take a chance. Before I lose this thought, because I lost it once before.
Yeah.
I think that I think the problem with issues with relationships is that people believe, you believe that you and that person, you know, I wonder if people don't believe that it can happen to them. And we'll, I wonder if more relationships would last if people believe this could happen to us.
What do you mean?
As in, we could fall out of love.
Oh.
As in, you could cheat on me. I could cheat on you. It's kind of like, I think I said this once before. It's like, it's like maintenance in your car. You change your oil. Why? Because you know if you don't change your oil, your motor will blow up.
Right.
So it's like, you do it because you know cars blow up. And I don't want my car to stop working, so I'm going to maintenance it properly. So my advice to people who are married or who are getting married is, you better believe it can happen to you. I think that people believe a lot of times that they are special. And when you believe you are special, you don't maintenance your relationships properly. You don't take the right perspective. And you better believe, as much as you love and care about somebody, they might cheat on you, you might cheat on them. If you believe that y'all could fall out of love, you could believe this could be us. If you believe, if you go into it believing that these things happen and it could happen to us, I think people will take a different approach and perspective. I think they'll maintenance their relationships differently. You know what I'm saying? But I think what leads to a lot of this divorce is they think that they're special. We're different than everybody else. We're not like everyone else. And I think that that leads to people not doing the things and not maintaining their relationships in the way that they should be, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I could see how that could lead. I think another thing, I mean, it's tainted by the kind of method I use, which is Gottman method. But I think another thing that really leads to it is just a misunderstanding of what's going to happen in marriage and what it should look like. Not just marriage. This applies to relationships in general, I think.
You got a question that's related to this in a second.
Okay.
Finish your thought.
I think people expect that relationships should just be easy. I'm not saying that your relationship should just be tough and hard the whole time, but it requires energy. It requires work. I think people that really understand that can make it go further. You know, I have different types of couples that come see me. Some come see me after an affair. Some come see me before they get married. Some come see me in the middle just because they're kind of, their different levels of problems are interesting. But I think the ones that take a maintenance kind of approach to it do better off, because what they realize is there are some things that I don't like about you. The reality is some of those things are never going to change. Some things will change. But recognizing that this is a process that's going to take some work. And I think that the reason that people have that problem is because they come in like, thinking it's going to be all rainbow and sunshine. I think it's just that they haven't had a proper models. They haven't seen what it looks like. You know, a lot of people are growing up without real models of it.
What you just said, you need to repeat that.
Yeah. I mean, it's different versions. You could have a family that is be lucky enough to grow up with a family that's together, but they don't fight in front of you. So you don't see a real, I'm not saying it should be domestic violence and stuff in front of you, but sometimes parents don't let you see the whole thing a relationship is. They tell you, like, you can't be negative. Well, there's many different emotions. If we've got to cut off one, how does that show up in the relationships? I think all those things have something to do with these problems. What's the question?
What do people need to do in order to properly maintenance a relationship? Like, what does that mean when we talk about maintaining a relationship? What are some things that people need to consistently do to make sure they're in a good space?
No, every relationship is like tailor made, you know? So you can't do this like a Toyota and say every 3,000 miles, you're going to need to go get an oil change. But I think that a good awareness of each other in the relationship, Gottman calls those love maps. So basically you have a firm, good understanding of your partner. And that doesn't just mean knowing what they like. It also means knowing what they dislike, and then being able to have some fruitful and honest conversations, not destructive conversations, but honest conversations where you could talk about whatever issues may be coming up in the relationship, but leaving the issue and not the person the issue. And that might come in the form of one simple thing a couple can do is have what's called a state of the union, like you would expect a State of the Union when it comes to the presidency. It's a state of like, how is the relationship? But it's key for you not to start this out with, let's just say, these are all the things I don't like about you. These are all the things you don't like about me. It would be more like, these are the things that I think are flourishing in our relationship. And these are the things that I would like to work on, but they should be stated in a way, you know, people have heard of I statements. You know, I feel this way when these things happen, and this is what I would like. Not so much so it's accusatory, but just so a person can express their needs. So say maybe one person in the relationship feels like their sex life is not the way they want it to be. They would just say, you know, well, one thing that could be better for me is that I would like to have sex more frequently. And this is certain things I would like about that, but not so much that it's about the partner, even though it involves a partner, but this is just what I feel. I think some couples are just not comfortable having honest conversations for lots of reasons. They think it's going to lead to attack, or some think it's going to lead to the end of the relationship. And then they spend their life being a chameleon or not being honest. And then it does lead to the end of the relationship.
Yeah. I agree with that. I totally agree with the notion, the idea that I think that, just lost my thought, but yeah, it'll come back to me. But I just think that maintenance, couples have to make time for each other. I think that if anybody, I've always said, if anyone says they don't have time for you, they're lying. Don't tell me we can't share a bowl of cereal together. I think that the relationship has to be a priority. And just like, I think life will happen and people will have kids and you have jobs, but you have to make time to attend to each other. And you have to, hopefully as best as you can, create a, I always say that couples have to create a safe space so your partners can be who they truly are. Not the person you want them to be, but the person that they want to be. And that they can come to you honestly. And like I said, people always say that it's so important what you talked about, this notion, the idea of coming to the carpet. That's what I was going to say. Is that I'm a firm believer, I've told people before, I think that couples, because we're all constantly growing and evolving and our needs are constantly changing. And I think that what happens with couples is we expect people to be the same people that they were 10 years ago when we married them. Right. And it's unrealistic. And I think that every few years or so, I love that term, you like the State of the Union. I've told people that I think couples should come to the carpet and say, are you still getting what you need from me and from us? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think every few years, because we're all constantly growing and evolving and our wants and needs changed. And we got married when I was 25 and I'm 35 now and I'm 38 now and I'm 40 now. And I don't eat the same, walk the same, talk the same, or have the same needs at 35 or 40 that I did at 25. And we get better when people change. That is a consequence of what happens when you intertwine your life with somebody else's. When you intertwine your life with someone else's life, you are taking the chance that they will change, and you have to understand that and be realistic. And I think that that is also a larger problem, is that people think that you're going to be the same person that you met at 20 years old. And that's unrealistic. You should expect to change. You should expect your partner to change. And I think, as you said, I really love that term, State of the Union. When I talk about it, I call it calling to the carpet. That probably sounds a little bit rough, like somebody did something wrong. But I think that every few years, couples, like you said, have this calling to the carpet and truly asking, what do you need from me? And my thing about relationships is, if everybody's giving, everybody's getting. So if everybody goes to the table with the attitude to give, what do you need from me? If I'm saying, what do you need from me? And you're saying, what do you need from me? Everybody's giving and everybody's getting. And we're not worried about if I'm giving too much or you're not giving as much as I am. Everybody just give. But most importantly, what do you need from me? What has changed? And the question is, can I accommodate those changes without compromising my identity or sense of self?
Yeah, I think that's good. I wanted to highlight a couple things you said and then give you the listeners some resources. So If you just get, there's a couple books you could get. I would recommend John Gottman's Seven Principles of Making Marriage Work. And if you're not in a marriage, there are seven basic principles that he's found in his research of over 40 years of studying these things to be helpful for helping the masters in relationships. Coming back to the State of the Union, if you're going to do it, is something you want to incorporate regularly. I'm thinking like once a week. I know that's a lot to ask, but these are not necessarily big couple issues. These are this week. These are the things you might set out. These are the five things I liked about, you know, certain things that you did, specific things you did for me. And then you could talk about the things that you would want to see change. Remember, those things should be about what you're feeling and what you're needing, not about the person. I think the other thing is you talked about making time. And I know with the couples that I work with, and I'm sure lots of couples are, specifically like working class couples, it's hard. And right now with Corona, even if you happen to be at home, you're doing multiple things. It's very difficult for some couples who have been together for a long period of time, have kids, to juggle this whole time thing. And I'm sure you've heard, have the date night, all that stuff. But the importance of it can't be understated. It doesn't have to be a whole, even if you can only do it once every 2 weeks, get it on the calendar. Or for like one of my clients, it's like not just on the calendar. There's like a calendar A and there's a calendar B. Get it on the one that you know is going to happen. And then you want to keep in mind how you're talking to each other. This may sound like a simple, silly thing. And I know couples have different banter and some couples can, you know, talk to each other in all kinds of crazy ways and it maybe not seem to have an effect. But you'd be surprised in the exchanges that you see between couples, and then you see how they treat the friend when they come over. And like I said about that human resource thing, that's what saves you in an argument. You need to have enough positive perspective about your couple to help you, or about your partner to help you when you get in a fight, you know, because that can be so contaminating, that negative sentiment that happens that when you're in a fight, if you don't have enough positive left over, one big fight's the end of, not the end of your relationship, but that's going to spill over to later on. Some people may think it's silly or naive when you got the couple that really looks at the other and has them on, like they think the moon of them. But the residue of that is when they get in an argument, they have the better ability to see them in a positive light. It's not always a good case, but that's what's going to help couples not start to get aggravated and ramp up so quick in arguments. It's because you have so much negative residue left because you don't really practice affirming each other on a daily basis.
Makes sense. That's dope stuff. That's dope. We better go ahead and wrap up because it's getting late.
Yeah.
For those of you who joined us, thank you. We care about you. We love you. We are back. We are definitely back. And we will try to, as best as we can, try to figure out a schedule of regular programming, you know, hopefully get back to doing something. Hopefully get back to doing something regularly, weekly, if we can. Like I said, university's about to start back up again and Dr. Chapman's in transition. And there's a lot of things are going on, but we'll do our best to, even if it's for 30 minutes or something, we'll get on, at least try to get on once a week, even if for a half an hour, just to touch base with everybody and to get back in the flow of things. We love you all. We want to say thank you. Thank you. We know we said we're going to start at 8 and we end up starting at 10. We had some technical difficulties. We apologize about that, but peace and blessings to everybody out there. And we will be in touch with you very soon. I'll let Dr. Chapman sign us out.
Yeah. For those of you that are either lost in love or searching for love, just remember that I know we had this conversation about whether marriage is necessary or not. And some people may find themselves in different places in terms of where they feel in terms of hope about love. I think if it's something that you want in your life, you can make it work, but there is a process to it. You have to be willing to put in the work, just like you put in the work for anything else. Some of it comes down to some basic decencies, friendship, willing to be able to work on how you see each other, conflict resolution, and knowing each other well enough to have some honest conversations without pointing the finger at that person. You can point the finger at things you want to stop, but can you do that without pointing at the finger? pointing the finger at them as a person. I think if you can keep those things in mind, it'll take you far, it'll take your love far, and if you have kids, it really will have an impact on how they grow up. Because it's not just that love matters for you, but how you love your spouse is really going to affect how your children love their spouses. So peace and blessings. We will see you next time.
Peace.